going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, a little bit more of Adam Peters before we get to Logan Paulson. I'll do my receivers today. Stanford Steve's going to jump on with us today as well. Nobody watches more college football than Stanford Steve, and nobody talks to more college coaches and NFL general managers than Stanford Steve. So we'll get his thoughts at 12 noon. So last year, if you recall, 7 of the 9 players they selected were team captains. They clearly had an idea of creating a culture and really changing a culture. And it was important for them to find, you know, their kind of guys, you know, the guys that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn talked about when they first got hired. They said they had this shared vision. You know, they had an aligned vision on player traits, you know, the things that they wanted in players. They wanted competitors. They wanted high motor players. They wanted smart players. And clearly they wanted guys that would create a really good locker room. Because let's face it, for 20-something years, the locker room wasn't super stable. So he was asked, you know, on whether or not that will continue to be a major factor in drafting players, you know, team captains, guys with super high character. Here's what he said.
I think you're still always looking for those types of guys, no matter what. Now, the draft isn't always going to fall that way, but I don't think we're ever going to waver from the types of people we want to bring in this building. And whether they were captains in college or not, I mean, whether they are leaders or not, quote-unquote leaders, people lead different ways. But we're just going to try to bring in good people. And so if they were captains in college, that's great. That shows you something. But if they weren't captains, that doesn't mean they're not leaders and they can't become those and can't become the types of guys we want in our building.
Yeah, I love that answer from him. I read it the first time. But you can't have 53 guys that were team captains. First of all, when you hear too much of an emphasis on character, that is great, and I understand that it's important, but I'd rather hear before high character, I'd rather hear the dude's unblockable coming off the edge. The dude is just, he's relentless. He's unblockable. He's a physical powerhouse. The hands, the feet, the length, the speed, the quick twitch. You got to have that first. You know, or you'll just have, you know, a locker room full of good guys going 8-9. Maybe not with the quarterback they have. Maybe 8-9 is going to be really hard with the quarterback they have. But you're not going to pass on great players if they're not team captains or if they're not true, you know, leaders. You got to have followers too. You just can't have bad people. You know, that's what's ruined this organization and others in the past. You know, like he said, we're just going to try to bring in good people. Doesn't matter if they were captains. But I would caution the And I'm not saying that they do this, because I don't think that they have done this. But I don't want to hear on Monday or whenever, maybe late Saturday or Sunday when we have the recap of the draft, I don't want to hear the five or six guys picked. We really got, an, you know, we got culture guys. We got smart, good people first. I want to hear, we watched the tape and we just thought that he was impossible to cover, that he was an incredible route runner with great hands. We thought that, you know, his yards after contact were as good as anybody. I still want to hear that before I hear the other. I want to hear the other, but you don't want to hear, I don't think, your leaders of an organization just drone on and on about, you know, the great people that they have in the organization. You can do that once you've won, and they won enough last year for us to start listening. There's no doubt about it. They didn't win it all, though. That is the goal. All right, there were two more Adam Peters quotes. This one is on the edge rusher, you know, conversation. And the fact that, you know, most people think there is a lot of talent, it's deep, but, you know, after Abdul Carter, for me, it would be after Carter and Mike Green, you know, who, you know, how deep is it? He spoke to that.
Yeah, it's a deep class, which is cool. There's something, I think, for everybody, whether you're a 4-3, 3-4 team or multiple. There's guys that are great against the pass. There are guys that are really good against the run. So whether you're taking that high in the draft or somewhere deeper, there's going to be some good players there. So that, along with a lot of other positions, we'll be open to taking. And I think what's cool is, even though we have some really good players in each of those rooms, whether it's edge or O-line or corner, which I'm sure you guys are going to ask about that too, but we have really good players, but we really, DQ preaches competition. So those guys are going to come in and compete, and the best guys are going to play. And the more good player, you can't have too many good players in a room, I guess.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, because the draft, the perception is that this draft is deep at D-line across the board, D-tackle and D-end or edge, that it's deep at running back, that there are, you know, some other positions. Those would probably be the two you'd focus on, but there are a lot of corners in this draft too. And if you believe that there are going to be a lot of players really, really close in terms of the best player available on teams' boards after the first four or five players come off the board in this draft, you know, then you can start thinking, well, maybe we need to get the corner now or the offensive lineman that we like now, because it's not as deep there, because we'll have a shot to come back in the second round on Friday night and get the edge, because we don't see much of a difference between JT Tuimoloau or Landon Jackson or, you know, Nick Scorton, you know, and they're available, and we're going to be able to get one of those guys. But, you know, we need, you know, an offensive tackle like Donovan Jackson, or you know, a guard, you know, which, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, and I think Keim mentioned for the first time, Tyler Booker from Alabama, you know, a guy that they actually really have a legitimate first round grade on. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, because running back and D linemen, there's a lot of in this draft. You know, there are fewer safeties, there are fewer, you know, offensive linemen, at least perception-wise. So we'll see what he ends up doing there and how the team handles it. And then lastly, there was one other one. He was just asked about best player available in the draft. You know, he had said a few weeks ago, the biggest mistakes you make are when you deviate from your board and you take a player for need rather than taking just the BPA, the best player available. He was asked about how he defines best available player in the draft. Here's what Adam Peters said.
Yeah, I think it's probably just the best fit for our team, you know, in terms of how they fit in our locker room, how they fit in our scheme and what we're looking for. So that could be any position, right? So, you know, kind of, I don't want to keep saying this because Ben made fun of me for saying this, but you know, we're in a position where we can take the best available and we can stay true to our board. And so we feel really good about that. And so we don't have to reach for a position that we feel we need that we may be talking ourselves into.
Yeah. I think he was talking about Ben Standing. I think Ben had asked him that question recently, but you know, he doesn't give you a lot, but you get a little bit here and there. There was another, you know, question towards the end. He was asked about, you know, the characteristics of the people on the team that make them, you know, nails on chalkboard, a Commander. And he said, you know, I mean, there's some basic characteristics that you kind of look for in just about any football player of any team. But really just seeing the competitive spirit of a lot of the guys. You throw in, you know, Frankie Louvu's competitive spirit, Bobby Wagner's professionalism, his consistency, his leadership. You go down the line, but that's what you hear. And he said, again, the guys that are the great competitors and they love football are those that are probably, you know, great teammates, he said, love football, great competitors. That's what they're looking for in the overall, you know, intangible makeup. I mean, they talked about that right from the beginning. You still got to make sure that they can play the position at a high level when you pick them there. Going to be an interesting draft, you know. They've traded away a lot of their picks for three players. Marshawn Lattimore, you know, Deebo Samuel, and Laremy Tunsil. And those players are going to be huge to what they are able to accomplish in 2025 and beyond in the case of Lattimore and Tunsil. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Friday night and Saturday are going to be interesting. And for us, it's like the first draft in forever where it's like, all right, we're not looking for the answer. We're looking for support for the answer. We got the answer last year. The most important position in sports, and they solved it. They got it right. I mean, we might, if had Jaden failed and not looked the part, you know, they'd be picking in the top 10 again. As, by the way, they were predicted, remember a year ago, they were predicted to pick in the top 10 before the season started, even with Jaden at quarterback. But they're not picking in the top 10 because they got the quarterback right. Like, this is, if you missed the season and you just tuned in for the draft and you saw the order, the one conclusion you could come to more than anything else is, man, Washington must have gotten it right last year with Jaden Daniels because they're picking 29th. In the first round. And different draft for all of us, man. You know, even the drafts where they weren't picking super high, you know, a draft like 2021 when they actually won the division during COVID, you know, and you're sitting there going, all right, you know, where's this draft? We're talking, you know, potential wide receiver. We're talking linebacker, Owusu-Koramoah, who went in the second round to Cleveland, but he had some health concerns, and they end up taking Jamin Davis, which came out of nowhere. You know, there was a lineman in Christian Darrisaw that was a possibility. You know, it's not like they've picked at 2 every year. You know, they traded back from 11 to take Dotson. Forbes, you know, they took at 16. But, you know, in 2 of the last 5 drafts, they picked number 2 overall. And you kind of knew where you were going with Chase Young. More of a debate with Chase Young. I'll concede that. There were many of you that said, no. Take Tua or take Justin Herbert. Or trade back and take Justin Herbert. Many of you said that. You know, I know many of you did. I did not. I was all in on Chase Young. I thought he was going to be, you know, an all-time, you know, dominant defensive player. By the way, he's played well last year. You know, good for him. He's older now. He's 25. He had 5.5 sacks last year in New Orleans. You know, he's going to play in New Orleans again this year, right? He re-signed with New Orleans.
Correct.
Right, Max?
Yep, sure did.
Chase Young did?
Yes.
And got some decent money?
Yeah, it was a surprising contract because I know Linnell and I, to a lesser extent, was interested in bringing him back, just seeing how, you know, how we did at the edge position in free agency.
So, different draft for us. You know, 2019, man, I remember that draft and the debate over, you know, the quarterback, and Dan wanted Dwayne Haskins, man. He went to Bullis with his son. Dwayne just did not look the part to me coming out. I was more interested in him when he became a pro than when he was a prospect, but I did love the Montez Sweat pick. Loved Montez Sweat. But, you know, that's the perfect, you know, example. Who knew that the third round pick from Ohio State, a guy that was okay as a college receiver, excellent as a special teamer, would end up being the star of that draft in Terry McLaurin in the third round. Maybe they can get something like that in this draft. All right, when we come back, Logan Paulson will jump on with us. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stanford Steve from ESPN will jump on with us at noon. We're going to talk a lot of draft today, a lot of draft tomorrow, and a lot of draft on Friday, and probably a lot of draft on Monday as well. Joining me right now is Logan Paulson. Logan's awesome at analyzing football and talking Washington football. And I reached out to you yesterday because I saw that you actually put together a big board for this draft. So how much work have you been doing in preparation for the next few days?
Yeah, I've done more work than I feel comfortable talking about live on air, because it takes a lot of time. So I've watched probably like 178 prospects at the moment. So I put that in a big board of 100, wrote little write-ups on all of them, and then put it in a horizontal board that I'm going to use for the show on Thursday night. So I've done quite a bit of work, and you know, don't know anything more than you probably do at this point, because it's all just my own evaluations. But it's fun. I do enjoy it. Just took a lot of time.
All right. So what? Give me your overarching theme to this draft, other than the fact that from our standpoint, we don't have to worry about quarterback.
Yeah. So I think the overarching theme for this draft, generally, and then I'll talk more specifically about the Commanders. I think the number one thing to keep in mind, if you're a fan of football, if you follow the draft even tangentially, is that from probably pick 5 to pick 55, 60, there's not that much difference. Like some years when you do the draft, you're like, oh, these guys are the top 10 guys. Oh, these guys are for sure first rounders. There's not really that same kind of vibe. So I do think that's one of the things that's really exciting about this year's draft, is everyone says, oh, these players, XYZ, are going to be mocked to the Commanders. But I think because of that crazy similarity between those picks, there's a really high likelihood that certain guys will fall that maybe you weren't expecting to be there, right? Or certain guys or certain teams will draft guys way higher than, you know, kind of consensus boards will kind of indicate. So I think from a Commander standpoint, obviously, like, that bodes well picking at 29, because you're not going to have to reach on a guy picking in the top 15 or the top 20. You can kind of let the draft come to you and make that selection. So what I do think, based on what Adam Peters has done this offseason, I think they've kind of set themselves up perfectly there to take quote-unquote best player available. I know that makes people, fans, some fans, like, very irritated, but I think in this year's draft that's especially important because of how the draft could potentially matriculate down to you at 29. So I think that's what I'd say for fans of the draft. It's a pretty there's not a great peak here, and for the Commanders, I think they're perfectly positioned to kind of take whoever that best player is that they deem and take them there at 29.
Well, the other part of that, when you say that, you know, basically there's not a lot of difference, and I've seen a lot of people say this over the last few days between 5 and 55, is that, you know, if they are able to, and you have to have a willing partner, but trading back and getting more swings, you know, in that they have 61 right now in the second round, but getting, you know, another swing and picking up another pick later on in the draft would be the best case if they're able to do it. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I think 1,000,000%. I think when you're looking, you know, top of round 2 to kind of bottom of round 4, maybe top of round 5, I think that's where you want the most opportunities to pick in this draft. That's true of most drafts, but it feels especially important this year because, again, the peak's not that high. So, you know, Fred Smoot says a lot of crazy stuff, but the thing he said to me the other day, which I think is 100% valid, is I'd rather have 2 picks in the second than 1 pick in the first. And I think this year that feels so true. So if they can do it, 100% get that done. The other thing I've noticed, too, is when you do mock drafts, and, you know, when I'm picking for the Commanders, obviously, like, the pick at 29, the pick at 61, really good football players available. But then there's this huge doldrum, obviously, because you're not picking until again until the fourth round. Then you have another doldrum, and you're not picking again until I think it's the sixth round. So those two doldrums, if you could get picks either after your fourth round pick or right before that fourth round pick in the third round, I think that would be really advantageous. Because again, like, it's so funny, like, when you're doing these mock drafts, you're like, oh my gosh, we've got all these good football players. One of them will be there when we pick again at, you know, 128, I think, is when we're picking. And inevitably, they're all gone. So I think if you could, again, just accrue a little bit more draft capital in that second to fourth round range, I think that would be the way to go. But like you alluded to there, I'm not sure you'll be able to, because, again, I think a lot of teams are aware of how this draft is composed, and I think a lot of teams are going to be trying to acquire more draft capital there.
Before we get back to the draft, let me just ask you about your personal experience. I'm sure I've done this before, but you were not drafted, but were you thinking you would get drafted in 2010 or not? What was the situation for you in the 2010 draft?
Yeah, so for me, obviously, I was an undrafted free agent, and I had a really good agent who was kind of like, this is what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to be a 6th or 7th round pick, but probably undrafted. And so, obviously, I'm having conversations with teams. I remember, you know, talking with San Diego, oh, we're going to take you with the next pick. I remember talking with Dallas, oh, we're going to take you here with our last pick in the 7th round. And obviously talking to tight end coach here at the time in Washington and being like, oh, maybe I'll end up getting drafted, but obviously undrafted. But in some ways, I would advise for people in that situation who are sixth, seventh round draft picks, it's better to be undrafted because then I can now pick between, for me, it was, you know, Dallas, Washington, and at the time San Diego, and I got to pick a situation where the numbers in the room are right. I knew the coach, and when you're drafted, you don't have that same flexibility. So I really gave myself the best opportunity to get drafted, and I really credit my agent Steve Carrick with that, you know, kind of prepping me mentally for the possibility of not getting drafted and then having a really solid plan about of the teams that were showing interest, where was the best fit for me.
You said you knew the coach. That was year one of Mike Shanahan and his coaching staff. How did you know the coach?
So I knew John Embry. So John Embry was the tight end coach my freshman year at UCLA. Yeah. And then his son, I played with his son at UCLA for 4 years. And then John Embry came back my fifth year, senior year, and was a consultant with the team. And so I knew him really well. He recruited me. He sat in my living room, drank coffee with my parents, did the whole thing. So that's how I knew the tight end coach.
All right. Well, I'm glad you picked Washington because, you know, it doesn't, your first team doesn't mean the team that you'd end up spending, you know, the rest of your life in the market and being a significant, you know, sort of analyst in the market, but it turned out that way. So we're glad that you picked Washington over Dallas. Logan Paulson is joining us. So, you've given sort of your overarching theme to this draft. Trading back would be great. I kind of agree with you. I think a lot of teams will kind of figure that out. And if there are quarterbacks that a team wants to get up to draft, there will be other options too with teams in the late 20s. Give me, other than the trade back, give me your best case for Washington at 29. I'm sure you've thought about the players, the position. What would be the best case result?
Yeah, I think, you know, just looking at the board as I've got it laid out kind of in that tier three, tier four range, I just think there's a ton of edge rushers that are going to be available. And I do think that there's some interesting kind of conversations to be had, with offensive linemen, with receivers in some cases. But I just think it's saturated with defensive players. And so I look at it, it's like, you know, you got Mike Green as a tier three player, Jalen Walker, Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Donovan Azaraku, and you go down, you get James Pierce Jr., Nick Scord, Landon Jackson, and JT Tuimoloau. And so, to me, all those guys are first-round players. And if I'm going through my draft board, like, there's, what is that? That's nine players. That just seems like it's very likely that one of them will be sitting there at 29 for the Commanders and be a very good football player. And so I just look at that as a position of strength, kind of at the bottom half of the first round, and say to myself, like, I'm not playing odds here. I'm just kind of playing percentages. I'm not saying they're going to do this, but it does seem like it kind of fits an area of general need for the Commanders. There are a lot of good football players there at 29. It just seems like a natural hand-in-glove fit. But then again, if, you know, Cray Zabel, the guard from North Dakota State, or Tyler Booker from Alabama takes a little bit of a slide, and people say, oh, no, that's never going to happen. Like, I just talked to a guy yesterday who had Tyler Booker as 70th on his big board. Like, there are crazy things that will happen in this draft this year because of, again, there's not a definitive peak. So if Tyler Booker's there, the idea of plugging him in at left guard is really appealing to me. Gray Zabel, Donovan Jackson, another guard from Ohio State. So I think there's a lot of good football players there at 29. It just depends on how it kind of all shakes down and, matriculates down to that pick and who's gone off the board at the time. But I do kind of – it just feels like there should be a good edge rusher at that spot.
All right, so let's talk about the edge rushers. Looking at your big board, you've got Abdul Carter as the best player in the draft. I've talked a little bit about him the last couple of days. My view is he's a great player. I don't see him like I saw Myles Garrett or even Chase Young coming out, because I think those were transcendent, like almost generational talents. I do love him a lot. Where do you kind of see Carter in relation to some of the really good edges that have been drafted super high in recent years?
Yeah, I think, you know, Myles Garrett was special. He was like unicorn special, like watching his film, watching his production, watching the athletic profile. You know, I kind of put him not exactly where Chase was because I didn't think Chase was special, but he's kind of in that similar bucket. And I think he reflects maybe a more modern understanding of the defensive end position, a guy that can line up in multiple spots, a guy that has this tremendous bend. You know, think more akin to like Von Miller as opposed to Chase Young, who's this kind of bigger power rusher. So I'm very, very high on him. I think he, like when you watch the film, like his get off is, you know, there's like Travis Hunter's ball skills, and then there's Abdul Carter's get off and his ability to stress the tackle every single play, every passing down. He can drop into space. He works well, you know, as a zone dropper, which is tremendous. So I just think he's a blue chip prospect, in my opinion. And in a draft where there's not a lot of them, like that's why it stands out so much. But to me, he's closer to Chase Young than I think a lot of people want to admit, or at least for me. And so I'm very, very high on Abdul Carter.
All right. Washington's obviously not going to have a shot to get him. So let's talk about the rest of them. And you ripped off some names and talked about nine of them. Give me the guys that you think they'll have a chance to choose from at 29.
Well, that's the thing that I'm having such a hard time with, is because depending on who you talk to, like, for example, Mike Green is my next edge rusher, right?
Me too. I love him.
He has some off-field concerns, but the more teams I talk to, it seems like they're okay with that. So to me, you should take him early, right? But if you're like a traits drafting team, you're going to draft, you know, Michael Williams or Shamar Stewart ahead of him, right? So all of a sudden he's sliding down the board, and then maybe you have a better grade on Donovan as a rocket from Boston College, and then maybe James Pierce Jr. So even though I see this class in a certain way, like I think any one of that's the great thing about this draft this year is any one of those nine players could potentially fall. Now, for me, the guys that I think are most likely to be available at 29 are like Donovan Ezeraku, James Pierce Jr., Nix Gordon, Landon Jackson, and JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. Like those are the five guys that I think are most likely. But I think those other guys like Shamar Stewart, I think, you know, Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, and Mike Green, like in a world where there is not a clear, definitive standout guy, that all those guys have questions. You know, Mike Green, it's the off-field stuff. Jalen Walker, it's the position switch. Michael Williams, it's the injury, lack of production. Samar Stewart, lack of production. Donovan Ezeraku, kind of the size profile and, you know, kind of mixed performance in terms of against the run. James Pierce Jr., off-field stuff. Like, they could all fall. And I think that's what's so interesting about it. Again, I think James Pierce Jr., Nix Gordon, Landon Jackson, and JT Tuimoloau are the guys that will be there. But I do think any one of those nine guys could be there for Washington. And again, that's one of the reasons I'm so excited for Thursday night to see how it actually does shake out.
All right, so let's go with what you projected, because I think that's fair based on, you know, kind of a consensus of the mocks. You know, Ezeraku, Pierce Jr., Tuimoloau, Landon Jackson, and Scorton. They're there. Because I've talked a lot about these players as well, and I'm really curious to hear what your opinion is. Like, if you had that bucket of players and they all sort of were right there in terms of best player available, give me the order.
Yeah, so for me, it's Donovan Ezeraku who has to be, I think, number one there. Like, he just is such a dominant pass rusher last year in 2024. Like, he's got every move in the book. He's got a great feel. He understands how to stack moves over the course of a game. So to me, he kind of just seems to perfectly fit with what Washington is lacking. Then I'd probably go Nix Gordon. And I know Nix Gordon wasn't overly productive last year at a Texas A&M, but you look at him in 2023 out of Purdue, he's got 11 sacks. And he bulked up a little bit last year, I think probably unnecessarily so. But, man, like, I don't know if you've watched him, Kevin, but he plays with such passion and such energy, and he's so physical. And I just am like, that's a commander-style football player, 100%. And then I'd probably go James Pierce Jr. Again, I know people say he should be higher. The get-off's tremendous. I respect all of that insight. Stylistically, I think he's a pure speed rusher. He's going to attack the upfield shoulder of the tackle. Those guys tend to have mixed success at the NFL level. If you don't have a dominant power rush, like I get a little bit concerned about that. And then there's the football character concerns, which – You know, the more, as we get closer to the draft, that just becomes more and more of an issue. I love Landon Jackson. I love JT Tuimoloau. Like, again, for the same reasons that I love Nix Gordon. Like, Landon Jackson is maybe my favorite player in the entire class. He's a little bit stiff, but, man, he plays so incredibly hard. You know, he's a big guy, right? Exactly. So, and then JT Tuimoloau is maybe, like, he's got this smooth kind of basketball fluidity, but is a NFL defensive end. So that's kind of how I see that group shaken out, but there's three football players in there, four if you count JT Tuimoloau, that I'm absolutely in love with. And obviously James Pierce Jr., if he's a commander, I'm excited. But as of this moment,
I'm a little on the fence about him in terms of the off-field and just general play style at the NFL level.
Yeah, I love Jackson, and I love Tui Maloau. He was a basketball player. He got recruited to be a D1 basketball player, and you see it in his game, just how athletically sort of the feel he has in space. But back to Azarakou. So he would be your number one. Can you play him on first down, or is he just a pass rusher?
Yeah, I mean, he does feel like Dante Fowler a little bit last year. You know, a guy that who is a little bit slinky, a little bit undersized. But when you watch him, he does have really good arm length. His arms are 34 inches. He's 6'2", but his arm length is 34 inches. And you do see him shock offensive linemen with that length. And I think that's something that people sleep on. Is he, even though he's a smaller guy, that length is something. And again, I've played against guys with long arms. Like I played against Danelle Hunter, played against DeMarcus Ware. Like, it is a thing. Like, I used to outweigh those guys in some cases by 20 pounds. But when they touch you first, you lose all leverage and ability to kind of anchor yourself into the block. So I do think he can play on first down. I think he's got to work on it a little bit, obviously. But there are clips of him doing a great job, you know, kind of bullying tight ends, dipping under offensive linemen, using his athleticism and bend and kind of ability to, like, run the hoop to, like, run down plays from the back. So, again, is he Shamar Stewart when it comes to stopping the run? No, absolutely not. But I think he is serviceable in that role. And I think, again, like I think about the multiple fronts that the Commanders defense played last year with that kind of bare front, that true odd spacing, you know, that front spacing where it's like an over front with Sam on the ball. Like those things I think he could do really, really well. And I'd be excited to see him kind of in that role.
The guy that, you know, has that Danielle Hunter, that super long arm kind of reach is that guy, Mikel Williams. I mean,
oh my gosh, yeah.
It looks so long. So let's move to another position. It's really good insight on the edge rushers. Do you think there's a running back after Jenty that would be worthwhile to select in the first round?
Yeah, I think in a draft class that's kind of devoid of top shelf offensive playmakers. So for me, it goes Jenty, Colson Loveland, Tyler Warren, and then there's a couple receivers in there, Golden, Tetro McMillan, and Buka. And then the next guy for me is Hampton from North Carolina. And I think when you're talking about an offensive weapon, like I definitely think Hampton is a guy that would be worthy of the 29th pick. The thing, you know, I've done a bunch of mock drafts. He's been there. I get really excited because I love the film. Reminds me a little bit of like Eddie George-ish, kind of this upright running style, great contact balance, pitches the football well. And but the thing about him is I just think about contract value. You know, like if it's between him and a corner or him and an offensive lineman or him and a defensive end, like I'm going all those other positions first because running back, the highest paid running back in the league are making like $15 million a year. Those other guys are making, you know, if it's a receiver, it's, you know, $35 million, $40 million, edge rusher, $40 million, offensive lineman, $35, $40 million. So I just think you want to, just because of the contract value, I'm not sure that it's worth it. But in terms of the player, I definitely think Omarion Hampton fits that bill 100%.
But you don't think they'll take a running back in the first round?
I don't. I mean, I think the contract value thing is one, but also I think it's a very deep class. You know, I think you got guys like Travion Henderson, Johnson from Iowa, and then you've got, you know, Quinshon Judkins. Like, those guys are good football players. Then you get down into, like, the Breshard Smiths from SMUs, the Basil Tootens from Virginia Techs. Like, there's a lot of good football, like Rocket Sanders from South Carolina. Like, there's starting caliber, maybe not starting caliber, but definitely rotational caliber running backs well into the fifth, sixth round. So, again, if this was a shorter-tailed running back class, I'd probably say, yeah, I'd be more comfortable taking a running back at 29, but it doesn't feel like that's necessary because of how many good running backs there are in this class.
Yeah, totally agree. By the way, you didn't have my guy in your top 100. The guy I love is Martinez from Miami. I don't think
I know you love him. He's just outside for me, just outside.
Okay. Give me, since you've done all this homework, give me, because I know you fell in love with a couple of players in doing this. Who are those players?
Yeah.
No matter where they are in your top 100.
Yeah, so a guy from UCLA, Kane Maderno, linebacker. He wears number 20 for them, and everyone thinks about Schlesinger, the linebacker, number 45, but Maderno's number 20. He kind of plays like this star safety,
He plays middle linebacker sometimes. He plays edge rusher sometimes. And I have not seen a more competent athlete, you know, in terms of spatial problem solving. Like, he can run. I've seen him cover receivers in the slot. I've seen him rush tackles. I've seen him take on offensive linemen. Like, his flexibility in the defense is just tremendous. The one thing that gives me pause is he's a good tackler, but he's not an overly physical tackler. So that makes me a little bit worried. But the athleticism, the flexibility he would give to a defense, the special teams value, I think would be tremendous. Another guy is an offensive lineman from Iowa State, Jalen Travis. Like, I can't get anybody to get as hyped up about him as I am. But, you know, he's 6'7 and a half. He's 340. He ran a 5'1 at the combine. He's a 35-inch vertical. He's got 35-inch arms. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, that profile, that physical profile, plays tackle at the NFL level. Like, he went to Princeton, transferred to Iowa State, and he's slowly getting better year on year, game on game. And so I just think his arrow is pointing up. And then the receiver from Iowa State, Jalen Knoll, is one of my favorite players in the class. Like, he's just a competitive son of a gun. And I just enjoy watching his film. He can win from the slot. He's got the big playability. And then Femi Oladejo from UCLA. Like, I fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl. Just a competitive, violent pass rusher who, again, is transitioning from off-ball linebacker to edge. But I just love his physical, competitive makeup when you watch the film and when you talk to people about him. So those are four guys that I really adore their film.
Just one more, because I'm about to talk about receivers, but he is in your top 100. Can anybody cover Kyle Williams at the next level, the receiver from Washington State?
Yeah, man. I think I described him in the big board as a receiver's receiver. Like,
yeah. What did that mean?
Everything. So what that means is, like, everything that, like, nerdy receiver guys do and love, like he does. Like, he varies his tempo. He's got great release packages. He understands how to double stick. He understands how to push in the blind spot. He catches the football well with his hands extended from his body. He's great after the catch. And I probably should have had him higher because he does all that stuff so well. I think level of competition had me a little bit spooked. But, man, like, he is – watch him at the Senior Bowl, excellent. Watch his college film, he's excellent. I think body size is a little bit concerning given, like, lack of, like, true top end. He's fast, but he's not, like, 4.3 fast. He's, like, a 4.45 fast. But I really like him as a player. And if he were to come here to Washington, like, that would be a tremendous fit, you know. But, yeah, I love the player for sure.
Your favorite Travis Hunter's your favorite receiver in the class, I'm assuming, right?
I mean, if you just said receiver, like pure receiver, it's Matthew Golden because he's so polished. But in terms of upside, it's definitely Travis Hunter at DB and wide receiver. Like,
I can't believe Golden ran what he ran. Back and watching him, he doesn't look sub 4.3 fast to me. Is he?
I totally agree. Craig pointed this out to me, you know, because Craig does all the coaching and the training stuff. He's like, he ran a 1.46. 10-yard split, which is crazy fast, and that shows up on tape. So he's not going to beat you, like, long speed down the field, but his acceleration into breaks, his acceleration out of breaks, like, that is a special thing to watch. His ability to catch and track the football, like, he's Kyle Williams, but he played at a better school. You know, and he played Georgia's, he played, you know, Penn State, and he dominated in some of those games, and so that's the difference between those two. But he, in terms of receiver, he's up there for me. After Travis Hunter, my second wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's where you had him. This was great. Love talking to you about this stuff. Hope you're well. Enjoy the next few days.
Thanks, man. You too.
Logan Paulson, everybody. You can catch all of his stuff on the Washington Commanders YouTube page at WashingtonCommanders.com with Smoot and Santana and the whole gang doing a lot of draft coverage the next several days. Stanford Steve will join us at 12. I have my kind of receiver thoughts, which I'll give you next hour as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Stream us on our Team 980 YouTube page. And when you get there, hit the subscribe button and hit the like button for us.
All right. Last night, the Nats beat the O's 7-0, and the Nats bats were hot. The lineup produced 10 extra base hits, two of which were doubles by James Wood on his bobblehead night. They will continue the Beltway battle tonight, right here on the Team 980. pregame at 6:15, first pitch at 6:45. Anthony Edwards has been fined $50,000 for shouting at a fan, "My bleep is bigger than yours," end quote. He has been fined over $370,000 total this season. Caps, Dylan Strome, penned a letter in the Players' Tribune detailing how he got to Washington. He said, quote, "I'm so thankful to be here in Washington to be part of the Caps family. There were times where I thought I might never get to this point, where I might never be on a team like this, in a city like this. I don't take any of this for granted. As far as I'm concerned, he is a Cap for life." The Caps will take on Montreal tonight in Game 2 of their playoff series. Alexei Protas was seen out on the ice prior to morning skate, this time wearing a full contact jersey. He could be ready to go in the very near future. Logan Thompson was the first goaltender off the ice at practice this morning. He is likely to get the start pregame at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
So there was some local team news yesterday, as in our professional basketball team, the Washington Wizards. I told you last week in the play-in round that you wanted Memphis to make the postseason, which, by the way, they did, and they're in the midst of being dispatched probably in four games, no more than five, by Oklahoma City in the first round of the playoffs. But what it resulted in for Washington is capturing Memphis's first-round pick, because in the trade that they made that brought Marcus Smart here, they had a top 14 protected pick from Memphis, but Memphis made the postseason. And in a coin flip yesterday, which would determine if Memphis was the 18th, 19th, or 20th pick in the first round, they are the 18th pick in the first round, which means Washington will have number 18, the best case scenario from Memphis in the draft coin flip yesterday. Now, the actual draft lottery, that happens in 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll find out where the Wizards pick with their own number one pick overall. Hopeful to get number one overall to get Cooper Flagg. But Washington will have, hopefully, a number one or number two or number three worst case. Actually, their worst case is five overall, right? No, six overall is their worst case with their own pick. But they got a good pick from Memphis in the coin flip. So maybe it's an indication that some good things are coming their way. By the way, Troy Weaver, who was a consultant for the Wizards front office with Will Dawkins, et cetera, was hired to become the senior vice president of basketball operations by the New Orleans Pelicans. So he spent a year here and moves on to New Orleans. There you go. All right, when we come back, Stanford Steve will join us. We'll get his draft thoughts. I've got my receivers kind of ranked. I don't think Washington's taking a running back at 29. I don't think there's a running back worth taking at 29. And it's because of the depth of the running backs in this draft. And I doubt that they're going to take a receiver in the first round. But there is a receiver when I started to look at all the receivers that I fell in love with, and nobody has him anywhere near the first round. We'll do that later on in the hour. But Stanford Steve next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.